This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisen and Wang Xiaoning. 7:44 in the morning, Friday the 25th of September. Let's talk about Sabah, which will be going to the polls tomorrow in an election that will be heavy on health protocols as the state also grapples with surging COVID-19 cases.
Well, it certainly has been a ride from the very start, right? It all started with Tan Sri Musa Aman's threat to bring down the Warisan-led government, which then led to the state assembly's dissolution. Now, Sabahans find themselves facing an election where, get this, 447 candidates are contesting in 73 seats. That's, I think, an average of about 6 to 7 per seat. And some of those seats are facing fierce 9 to 11 corner fights. Lynn, I just can't get the perspective here. The context is so wide.
It is indeed. And so to help us a little bit with some indication as to what's going on and its context in Sabah, we're turning to Professor James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania. He's a longtime commentator on Malaysian politics and has been keeping a keen eye on Sabah. Thank you for joining us, James. Now, set the stage for us. What has been some of the main drivers and issues fueling Sabah's state election campaigning from both fronts?
Thank you very much for inviting me to share my thoughts on what's happening in Sabah. So I've been keeping a very close watch on Sabah for ever since the Dewan was dissolved. The only regret I have is that, unfortunately, I'm not on the ground. As many of your listeners know, I'm actually stuck in Australia. And if I were to come in Malaysia, it'd be very bad for me to go back to Australia. I think to understand what is happening now in Sabah, you really have to sort of understand how we came to reach this point, this snap election in Sabah. And I think the starting point will really be the February regime change, when suddenly the Pakatan Harapan government fell apart. I think that was a big surprise to many people. So basically what happened in February is that we lost sort of a multiracial government under Pakatan Harapan, and we ended up with a Perikatan government, which is very Malay-centric, consisting of three core parties, UMNO, PAS and Bersatu, which are all basically Malay-based parties with the Malay First philosophy. The other important point about the February regime change, of course, was that it destroyed the working relationship between the two most important Malay leaders on the Pakatan side. And here, of course, I'm referring to Tun Dr. Mahathir and Anwar Ibrahim. Basically, I think it is not possible to repair the relationship anymore. The other important thing that came out of the February regime change, of course, was that because of the split in the Malay leadership in Peninsula Malaysia, we had very first time a serious proposal by the establishment in Peninsula Malaysia to say that maybe we should widen our pool of potential prime ministers. Now, I'm sure you all remember the proposal for Shafiq Abdal to come up. That was a major watershed moment in Malaysian politics. I think the second thing that we need to remember is that the February regime change actually also led to the Musa coup attempt. Musa Aman trying to take over the state government, which of course led to this snap election that we're talking about today. As many of your listeners know, Musa Aman was not acting alone. It is quite obvious that he was supported by the federal government, in particular Muhyiddin. Muhyiddin already had the support of GPS in Sarawak, and I think he really needed Sabah to fall in line as well. So it was quite obvious that when Musa launched the coup in Sabah, he had the full backing of the federal government.
So all of this really, there's a lot of background here that's coming in from February, right? What about this Anwar announcement in the middle of the week? Do you think it's going to, how do you think it's going to play into the Sabah elections? Will it have any impact?
My take on the situation in Sabah is that this has not really been raised in many of the choramas. So if there's going to be any impact, it'll have an impact among the fan-seaters. My take is that, for example, the Chinese community and most of the Muslim community have already made up their minds. So unless something very big happens in the next 24 hours, I don't expect changes to the way they vote. But the Anwar affair will have some impact among the fan-seaters, especially the Kadazan Dusun community. Coming back to the Sabah thing, I think we also sing a free-for-all in Sabah. Mm. So one of the interesting things about this coming election, of course, is that you've got people like all the CNA people who used to serve in the federal government trying their luck. So your ex-foreign minister who set up the Love Sabah party, and they're standing all the seats in Sabah, sending a signal that, you know, they're planning to form a standalone government, planning to win all the seats by themselves. Then you also have the ex-speaker of the Malaysian parliament, Pendeka, who has decided to revive a party called USNO. USNO is still quite a powerful name among the older Muslim community in Sabah. Then you also, among the Chinese, you have Tan Sri Chung, who's coming back. He used to be the president of LDP as chief minister, so he's also coming back to try his luck. And I think you mentioned earlier that there was 447 candidates. I think that's crucial because the way to understand it is essentially that you sort of average out over 73 seats. So what you have is this will be probably a record in Malaysia. Every seat in Sabah will have an average of 6.1 candidates. So that's quite incredible. Such a large number or such cohort, right? There was only one rejection. So there was a bankrupt USNO member who was rejected as a candidate. And of course, there was 56 independent candidates. Given this sort of background, which I've outlined, it's obvious that, you know, the only theme available, because Musa's push was supported by the federal government. So the biggest theme in Sabah in this election is essentially state versus outside interference or the federal government. So it's very much of a Sabah for Sabahans versus outside interference. And of course, this ties in very nicely with what I've been talking about for a very long time, which is the rise of state nationalism fueled by MS63. So if you look at the Warisan campaign, right, I think it was quite disciplined. So basically what we have now is that most people would tell you that the major split is actually happening in Kedazan Dusun areas, Kedazan Dusun Murid areas. The East Coast appears to be quite solid for Shafiq Abdal. The West Coast is not doing so well. But basically the big fight is now basically in the interiors between the KDN groups. So you can see that for the Warisan, the biggest problem they face is the fact that they try very hard to put out a united front. So that's the reason why DAP went along with them and decided to use the Warisan logo. But PKR couldn't come to a deal, so PKR is using their own logo. APCO is also using a logo because they think that the Warisan logo is a negative for them. But what is really, really interesting is that this is the first Sabah state election I can think of where the opposition, the major opposition, can't decide on who is the chief minister candidate. So because of this clash between BN and PN, right, they actually don't have a chief minister candidate. And you and I both know that our voters don't like disunity. So what happens if you drive around Sabah today, right, you'll find that most of the posters put up by the BN and PN actually has the face of Muhyiddin, who's not even a candidate. So in some ways, he's actually the proxy poster boy for the opposition. And this has led to a lot of question marks. And also within the BN and PN itself, you see candidates not only clashing against each other, but the leaders of this party actually openly criticize each other as well. You see public spats between the leaders of PBS and STAR, for example. So the sort of question that we really would be interested, who is the Muslim champion? Because obviously in 2018, it was split between Arnold and Warisan. The Chinese have more or less decided to stick with DAP. But the really interesting part is the fight between the KDN parties. So basically, you've got three big players there. PBS is making a big show. STAR is making a big show. And of course, Warisan.
James, who do you think is going to come out victorious after this?
You're only interested in the money question. Oh, very bad of you guys, very bad. Okay, go to the 4D shop. Anyway, I'll give you my prediction for what it's worth. The first prediction I have, and you can invite me on Monday to tell me whether I'm right or wrong. The first one is that I expect one senior Warisan minister to lose in the KDM areas. Don't ask me who, but I expect one senior Warisan minister to lose, unless something drastically happens in the next 12 hours. The parties with a lot of candidates like PCS, USNO, and LDP, my argument is, or my prediction is that they will have no impact. Of course, they might be lucky and pick up one or two seats each, but basically, they will have no impact in the overall scheme of things. I expect 40 to 50% of the 447 candidates to actually lose their deposits. So the EC will probably make a profit out of this state election. The issue about killing of the frogs or barbecuing the frogs, I predict that the frogs will not die. The frogs will make a big comeback after the election. majority of the frauds will jump into the winning party. My other prediction is that voting trends can be clearly seen in terms of there will be a big generation gap. I think the younger people, the way they vote, will be very different from the older generation. Warisan looks on track to win, and they will win anywhere between 40 to 50 seats, unless something drastic happens. The reason I say something drastic may happen is because the night before polling, usually it rains in Sabah, and the thing coming down is not water, but money.
Thank you so much for speaking with us, James. That was Professor James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania, a longtime commentator on Malaysian politics. Now, we've also been running a poll on this subject on the BFM Twitter account, at BFM Radio, asking you who will win the Sabah state elections. 314 votes, 10% said Gabungan Rakyat Sabah, that is the BNPN coalition and their associated allies. 59% said Warisan Plus, 10% said that they don't know. Another 20% said that they don't care, which I guess speaks to kind of the political fatigue that I think a lot of us here in Malaysia are facing, and perhaps also a little bit of the distance between the peninsula and Sabah and Sarawak.
Yeah, certainly. And, James cited his prediction was 40 to 50 seats. I really wish we had more time to talk to him about the nitty-gritty when it comes to Sabah politics, but 40 to 50 seats for the out of 73 seats, that's a significant majority there. So when we take a look at it, unless it starts raining a certain something in Sabah the night before.
Raining a certain something indeed. Now, Shaoning, let us know what are you thinking here as well when it comes to looking at the Sabah state elections. We are seeing a lot of frogs, and James doesn't expect that to go away at any time soon.
Yeah, but I think, you know, everything is who knows, until probably Saturday after 5 p.m., you'll have clearer indications on who's going to emerge victor. But by the way, BFM will be covering this tomorrow after 5 p.m. on news. So do listen in. We will give you updates on what's happening. And we will also have some voices on the ground telling us what's the situation like in Sarawak. But for those people who want to listen more to James, we are also going to have him back on Monday at 8:45 to call him out if he's right or wrong as to his predictions.
Yeah, we've actually got some Twitter fans here for James, because they really wanted to learn more about the situation on the ground. And yes, we will definitely be having him on. I mean, we all love James here. And really, it was very interesting because, I mean, when we take a look at that 20% number in terms of the people who, in this case, seem not to care about Sabah politics, you're seeing that West Malaysia, East Malaysia divide, right? Because Peninsular Malaysians are generally concerned with Peninsular politics. Even you could even say it's Klang Valley that's concerned with a certain set of politics, and then East Coast and Northern Malaysia is also different as well. And it's very interesting. And I mean, we take a look, we're still facing the ramifications from February, right? I think James alluded to that, how things have all this kind of started off from February. Even Dato' Sri Anwar's announcement a few days ago, again, all the machinations from earlier this year.
Absolutely. And Sabah also, there's also a very strong sense of the Sabah state elections needing to be by Sabahans. The result needs to come from Sabahans rather than having the federal and peninsula politics come into play too much. So we are seeing comments to that effect, even from Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, who is campaigning in Sabah. But, you know, it's the question is, how successful will they be in driving home the idea that Sabah is its own state and not, and I think the word he used was not a colonizer of the state. So let us know what you think. Nevertheless, also on the poll, we now are running into the 8 o'clock news bulletin, and after that the Breakfast Grill, where Kusu Chuang will be speaking with Tourism Selangor. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.